Adam read a story from Mark chapter 7, a story about a man that was both deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Some of his friends brought him to Jesus and they said, "Master, could you heal him? Could you just do what doctors cannot do? Could you just put your hands on him and heal him?" And the Bible says that Jesus took him aside from the crowd and stuck his finger in his ear and spit on his own finger and touched the tip of his tongue. And he looked up to heaven and he said, "Ephrata, be opened." And the Bible says straightway or immediately his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plain. And in verse 37, here's what the Bible says, "And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well." He hath done all things well. This morning, that's the title and the theme of my message, "He hath done all things well." As we read the story of this deaf and man that couldn't talk plain, we don't know much about him. I mean, basically, the only thing we know about him was that he was deaf. He couldn't talk plain. We don't know his name. We don't know his parents. We don't know how old he was. We don't know how long he had been in this condition. We don't know if he was born with it or an accident or something happened and that messed up his hearing and messed up his speaking. We don't know if he was a religious man, if he went to the synagogue, or if he never darkened the door of the then known church. We don't even know if he was a Jew or a Gentile. I mean, we know about his medical condition, and we know that he had some friends that cared enough about him to bring him to Jesus. And again, it's not the main part of my message, but I'll just stop quickly and say, if you have friends and you care about them, you will get them to Jesus. If you have somebody that you call a friend, if you care anything at all about them, you will some way get them exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll invite them to church. You'll give them a tract. But some way you'll do like this group of friends did. You'll get him to Jesus. I don't know much about his friends. I mean, it doesn't say if they were men or women. Doesn't say how long they've been friends. Again, the only thing we know about them is that they cared for this one that was deaf and couldn't speak plain. So I don't know a lot about the story. But this I do know about it. When they brought that man that had a need to Jesus, Jesus did something that the doctors of the day could not do. Jesus did something that the healers of the day could not do. They brought him to Jesus and they saw a miracle. Jesus stuck one of his fingers in the guy's ear. He spit on the tip of his finger and touched the tip of his tongue. He looked up to heaven and he said, "Be opened!" And those ears were open. And again, I don't know how long he couldn't hear, but he had, and I don't know what they call it, but he had 20/20 hearing. He could hear. And the tongue, the fact that he was tongue-tied, his tongue was unloosed, and he could talk plain. And when the people that were around him saw what happened, they said, the Bible says they were astonished beyond measure, and they said, "He hath done all things well." And this morning, I want to add my voice to theirs. And I want to tell you this morning and remind you that our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, hath done all things well. And this morning, to make that point, I invite you to look at four things. Number one, I invite you to look at creation. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And we know that Jesus, in that verse, was the Word. And we know that in those verses that Jesus was there in the beginning and He spoke and this creation came into existence. And so as I look around at the creation of God this morning, even though man has been messing with it for thousands of years, as I look around at the creation of God this morning, I say with these men that were in this story, He hath done all things well. And again, I don't have time to go through the whole 6 days of creation, but on the first day He made light. Light that we need, light that the plants need, light that the animals need to stay alive. And I say, because of that light, He hath done all things well. I look at the firmament that He made to divide the waters from the waters. And we've messed with this thing called the firmament. One of the parts of that firmament is the ozone layer. And we, you know, with all the stuff we put into the atmosphere, we've put holes in it. But I want to tell you, when God designed the earth and He put that layer of gas around the earth that lets all the good things in and keeps the bad things out, He hath done all things well. I look at the land masses that He said, when He said, let there be dry earth in the middle of the seas, and He made the land. And I look at the oceans that were formed from them. And I look at the mountains and the valleys and the rivers. I have to say, and you have to say, and by the way, these people that believed all this was created by a big bang. I mean, they got rocks in their socks. They don't know what they're talking about. This earth was created by divine creation, by a God in heaven. And when Jesus spoke, and that land and the oceans and the rivers came into being, and we look at them today, we have to say, He hath done all things well. When I look at all the plants and the animals, I'll sit down for lunch today somewhere, and I'll enjoy those vegetables and things that He gave us to eat. And I consider the creation of all the animals that I made, that Jesus made. And I look at the big elephant, the mighty elephant, and then I look at the little ant. I look at the bold, ferocious lion, and I look at the shy possum. And I gotta say, He hath made all things well. Turn your attention to the heavens as the psalmist did. Look at the sun, moon, and stars. And say with David, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The God that could speak all this into being. He hath made all things well. You just go and you look at this world. You look at the heavens that surround it. You look at everything that's in it. And you have to say, He hath done all things well. And if looking at everything else doesn't impress you, then just go home and look in the mirror. And I'm not saying look at your beauty, although some of you could make that claim, not me, but some of you can make that claim. But just consider your body. Consider the chemicals that make it up. Consider the electrical current that's in your brain. Consider, I mean, just look at your hands and see how your fingers work, and you gotta say, He hath done all things well. Jesus spoke the world into existence, and 7 times in the book of Genesis, God the Father looked at what Jesus had made. And 7 times it says, God saw it, and it was good. He hath done all things well. Number two, I invite you to look at his life. At 12 years old, his parents took him to the temple. They left him there. For 3 days, he sat among the teachers and the rulers of the synagogue, asking and answering their questions. When his mom and dad found him 3 days later, he said, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" In his teenage years, the Bible says he was subject unto his parents and increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. From his teen years till he was about 30 years old, he lived an unknown life. But he was preparing to be about the Father's business. I don't know what happened in those from the time he was 12 until the time he was 30 and he started his earthly ministry. But I knew to know this. Upon the occasion of his baptism, when he came up out of the water after being baptized by John the Baptist, and the Spirit of God descended from heaven in the form of a dove. A voice from heaven spoke out. A voice before he started his earthly ministry. A voice before he turned the water into wine, before he healed his first person, before he brought his first person back from the dead. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I don't know what he did from the time he was 12 years old to 30, but God in heaven does. And God in heaven said, "I am pleased with what my Son has done for the past 18 years as he's prepared to serve me." And then he started his earthly ministry. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see. He opened deaf ears. He loosed tongues that were tied. He comforted the brokenhearted. He included the outcast. He raised the downtrodden. You go ahead and read the Gospels and you listen to what people who were there said about this one we call Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The Pharisees said, "This man receiveth sinners." Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Pilate, the one who condemned him to be crucified, said, "I find no fault in him." Judas, the one who betrayed him, said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." The centurion who stood by the cross and watched him die said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And even the demons, the devils from hell, said, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God." These included his friends, included his enemies. And you go through the Bible, and there is not one negative thing said about God. Oh, they intended them to be negative. When they accused him of eating with sinners, and when they accused him of mixing with the outcast of society, they said, "Oh no, that's bad. That goes against the rules of society." But as you look back on what his mission was, the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to cure healthy people. They don't need a doctor. He came to cure the sick and the outcast, those that others had nothing to do with. He hath done all things well. I invite you, third of all, this morning to look at his impact. I won't mention any names this morning, but I'll share testimonies. There's a man in our church. He was one of six children. His father was an alcoholic. His mother was a godly woman. And she raised those six little kids without any help from her alcoholic husband. And all six of them today are in church serving God. And that man this morning would look and say, "He hath done all things well." There's a mom here, has four girls. Her husband left her, and by herself she raised those four girls. You listen to her testimony. There were times where she didn't know where the next meal were coming. There were times she didn't know what she was going to put on the table for her kids to eat next. And yet, she would say this morning, as God took care of them and God provided, she would say this morning, "He hath done all things well." There's a man in our church who in his teen years got caught up in alcohol and drugs. His life was going nowhere. Had no meaning, no purpose. One night, in the middle of the night, he came to his senses, came to himself. He said, I've got to have something different. I've got to do something different. He called his brother in the wee hours of the morning. He said, "You got to help me. My life has no meaning, has no purpose." Brother came over and saw him, took the Bible, led him to Jesus. His life turned around. He says this morning, he hath done all things well. And this one I'll mention a name because it was a blessing to my heart. Friday night, Amy mentioned to me, she says, Brother Darrell, you probably don't remember this, but today, talking about Friday, she says, it's the 11th anniversary of the death of one of my friends. When we were teenagers, we came to this church and were part of the youth group, and my friend got saved. She died when 23, and she was 23 years old. Her parents never went to church, never took her to church. She didn't come that long, but she came long enough to hear the gospel. And Amy told me, whenever she sees her parents thank her for bringing her to church and getting her saved, because she knows that she's in heaven this morning. And I dare say if I let Amy get into my preaching this morning, she would say, he hath done all things well. I could go up and down the aisles. I could talk about what God's done in the families of this church. I could talk about how he's changed your lives. I could talk about how he's answered your prayers. I mean, I was so blessed this week. In fact, I'm going to save it for tonight. But I heard three blessings that there is nobody that can say that it wasn't God. Specific needs that were brought before God, he worked, he answered those prayers. And again, nobody can say it wasn't God. We have to join our voices to these people and say, he hath done all things well. And then number four, I invite you to look to the future. One day, the Bible says we're all going to die. There is appointed a day when we will die. I mean, if the Lord comes before then and we Christians will be raptured away, we'll miss death. But if he doesn't come, the day will come when every single one of us will take our last breath and our heart will beat for the last time. And we'll go to heaven. And we'll stand before God. And God will look at my life. I'll just use myself for an example. He'll look at my life. He'll see the sin in my life. He'll see the wickedness in my life. He'll see the disobedience in my life. He'll see nothing in my life that would deserve his kindness. He'll see nothing in my life that would deserve heaven. But then he'll take a book off the shelf behind him. It's called the Book of Life. He'll open that book over to the M's. And he'll go down the page until he finds Darrell Manning. No middle name or middle initial, because my dad didn't believe in him. Darrell Manning. And he'll look in that book, and in that book, he'll see a day when I was about 16 years old, when I got down on my knees in my pastor's study, and I told God that I was a sinner, and I told God that I was depending on Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary to make me right with him. And God the Father will come out from behind his desk and he'll say, welcome home, child. Let me take you and show you your house. Jesus has been working on it for 40 years now, and that's if I go today. Hopefully he'll give me a few more days. He said, let me take you and show you your house. Jesus has been working on it for a long time, preparing it just for you. Let me introduce you to some of your neighbors. I think I'm going to live next door to Peter because he and I are a lot alike. We have tempers and sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. I'm trying to get better and God's helping me, but I think Peter's going to be one of my neighbors. and then I'll see Jesus. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I'll see the wounds in his head where they planted the crown of thorns. I'll see the wound in his side where they stuck the spear. I'll see the wounds in his hands and his feet where they nailed him to the cross. And I, along with countless others, will say to my Savior in heaven, "You have done all things well."
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this morning, will you be able to say that same thing? You will be if you know him as your Savior. You will be if there's a time in your life where you did the same thing that many in this room has done. There needs to be a time in your life where you come and you tell Jesus, "I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that sin will separate me from you forever. But I believe that what Jesus did on Calvary was for me. In this very moment, I'm taking it for my own. I'm receiving the price that Jesus paid for my salvation. Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Savior." You don't have to pray a certain prayer. You don't have to feel a certain way. But there needs to be a time in your life where you do that. And if you're here this morning and you've never done it, I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. The Bible says today, this is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. And if you're here this morning and you never asked Christ to be your Savior, would you do it now? Right where you sat? Would you do it now? And for all the Christians that are here, I know the majority of us that are here this morning have already done that. We've already made that decision. Would you join with me in saying, "He hath done all things well"? He hath done all things well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the blessed story of a Savior who loved us so much that he left heaven.